Chamesh Megillos, class number 5. February 18th. Okay, guys. We're doing Echa today. We're doing Echa, and then the following weeks we will be doing Megillat Esther. Okay. We're only going to be doing chapter 1 and chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 3 inside today. There is a pasuk in chapter 4, though, that seems to reference an interesting Tanakh pasuk. What I'm about to tell you is just a fascinating inyan of Tanakh in general, that Nevi'im tend to come upon the scene when something is wrong, right? The Nevi'im Rishonim when the king does something wrong, and the Nevi'im Achronim to the masses. Well, this is a davar pashut ma'od, right? We do not see Nevi'im coming up to kings and telling them, Yoshiyahu, you're the man. You're doing a great job. You keep that up because God likes what you're doing. I'm sure that Yoshiyahu did talk to him that way. It's called positive reinforcement. Hashem says we learn that message when he says, Na'aseh Odom, you make the underling feel good, right? And you try to give them the carrot as well as the stick, right? But in Nevi'im, especially Nevi'im Achronim, the Navi really is there when there's something, just to mostly tell people something wrong. What am I getting at? Is that Yirmiyahu gave prophecy, the author of Echa, gave prophecy during the reign of five kings. Yoshiyahu for 18 years during Yoshiyahu's time. Yoshiyahu himself was king for 31 years, as you recall from our very first class. But Yirmiyahu started in his 13th year, you can do the math. Right? Okay, so Yirmiyahu gave Nevuah for 18 years while Yoshiyahu was king. He gave Nevuah for 3 months while his son Yehoahaz was king. He gave Nevuah for 11 years while Yehoiakim was king. He gave Nevuah for 3 months while Yehoiakim was king. And then another 11 years while Tzidkiyahu was king. It's five kings during the life, during the tenure of Yirmiyahu's prophecy. Okay, everyone got it?
Yeah.
What is the significance of this? Is that in all of Sefer Yirmiyahu, he has a lot to say to the four kings below line 1. Mentions them by name. There is not one reference to a single word that Yirmiyahu tells Yoshiyahu in the whole Sefer Yirmiyahu. Never talks to him. Never addresses a word to him. Never mentions his time period. Because in terms of the original Brisa, Baba Basra, that mentions the books of Tanakh, they're certainly not mentioned together. Only Esther is called Megillat Esther. Right? But that these five should be considered, let's say, different to what makes Rus a Megillah and not Daniel. They're Ksuvim, that's for sure. They're not books that were meant to be publicly spoken. They were meant to be written for the future time for people to read them. The words Ko Amar Hashem do not appear not in these five books and not in any of the other six books of the Sefer. So that's clear. It's not really an easily answered question. It probably has something to do with the liturgical usage of the words, of the works, which means when we read them in shul.
There's
we read these folks. Daniel was never associated with a holiday to read the entire book. Right? But these five were. And in fact, if you open up a Tanakh and you see the order of these five books, you'll see that the order is the liturgical order. Tehillah, Mishlei, Iyov, and then Shir HaShirim, Rus, Eicha, Koheles, Esther. That's not a chronological order. That's the order is based on how we read them. So when it became a minhag, like in the Middle Ages, to read Koheles and Sukkos, so it was in, oh, let's call Koheles a Megillah.
No, but I'm saying that, so that those, like Esther and Eicha make sense for why we read them then. And I guess you could say Rus does, because it technically happened on Shavuos or something.
Mm-hmm.
So then, but the other two, are just, oh, that happens
well,
to be...
Well, sure, Shirim, and when the year seems young in the year, and it's the beginning of and his young love, and he's sitting by the blossoming trees. And Koheles is that these kupas hashomel, the year is turning over, and you feel old, and the leaves are starting to turn, and the winter of my life is the end of your life, right? Although, I must admit that when someone says, be mechor fi, usually means in my youth. But this, I'm darshaning here. But okay. Lemaisa, though, there is a pasuk. The only time that Yirmiyahu is mentioned with Yoshiyahu in a pasuk is actually at the very end of Divrei Hayamim. You will find it in Divrei Hayamim Bet, Perek Lamed Hey, pasuk Chof Hey. When Yoshiyahu is killed, do you remember how he was killed? Remember from the Egyptians who wanted to go up the eastern border and he came out to meet them in battle? You have that from the first class. And he was killed, it says, I'm reading now, it is something that you can still get to this day, which makes us feel that what this kina is something that is readily known. They made it to be a ruling. Chok al Yisrael means something that they would continue to do, right? To read about this loss of Yoshiyahu. What do we do to remember Yoshiyahu? V'hinom kituvim al hakinot. You will find this dirge for Yoshiyahu written in the keynote. Hakinot. That's it. It's the only time Yoshiyahu and Yirmiyahu appear at the same place. After he's dead. Now I'm sure these two had a lot of associations, but it's not the way of Tanakh to concentrate on that, as I just told you. Right? But what does it mean that they made a chok in Yisrael, and that was your association just now? It makes perfect sense that we should read Eicha on Tisha B'Av, right? That could be the chok we're talking about. The only question is, where is Yoshiyahu mentioned in Eicha? There's a very good reference to it. Chapter 4, at the end of Perek Dalet of Eicha, pasuk says, Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem, something like that has entered the canon of our Zmiros on Shabbos morning. Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem nilkad b'shchisosenu. Our last hope, the chosen of God, has been caught in our net. Nilkad b'shchisosenu. Pasuk perek dal pasuk chof. Asher amarnu b'tzilo nichya b'goyim. We were hoping that in his shadow we could manage to survive this onslaught. Right? But it didn't happen. He was slain. Perek Dal Pasuk Chof may actually be such a reference of Yoshiyahu. Okay? And another important point that Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim is a rare case of one Sefer in Tanakh making reference to another Sefer. Divrei Hayamim may actually be referencing Eicha. Why is it calling it keynote? Because, as we know from the Raisa and the Sefer Spachba, so that's what the Gemara calls it. Books were not called by their first major word. Books were called by their content. Right? The book was called Keynote, by this biblical author, as well as by, that's what the book was called, simply. Right? When you buy an English translation of Eicha, what word appears on the cover? Usually two different words. What
limitations.
Limitations or E-I-C-H-A, right? But you will never find an Eicha with the word how with a question mark, which would be a translation of the word Eicha. What do you usually find for Shir Hashirim? You might find S-H-I-R-H-A. But you might find Song of Songs. There they don't mind translating Shir Hashirim on the cover. Right? Anyway, Chazal referred to Shir Hashirim as Shir Hashirim because that's not only the first two words, it's also the content of the book. But Eicha is certainly not the content of the book. So Chazal didn't call it that. Chazal called it, as well as this pasuk calls it, Keynote. If indeed Divrei Rav Beis Paraklamatei Pasuk Chafei is referencing this thing about Yoshio. If it is Yoshio, obviously what you have to do is find me something in Eicha that talks about Yoshio. There's the pasuk Dal Chaf, and I rest the case on that. Okay? A few more programmatic points about Eicha is obviously anyone with eyes can see that immediately it is practically all alphabetical. Okay. First four problems are alphabetical. And another thing is that amazingly, in some of the cases, not in all the cases, Pei comes before Ayin. What is the Musar that we might learn from the fact that Ayin comes before Pei in the Hebrew alphabet?
We're supposed to see before we speak.
Right. Supposed to see and determine and evaluate before you speak. The problem with the Meraglim, as Rashi points out, is that they spoke before they came to a full determination. So it was a Bechir L'Doros that on this night we will always bemoan the fate that seems to always fall upon us on this miserable day. Okay, so that's just a midrashic explanation of the pay before the ayin. Look, from ever since Phoenician alphabets down to Romance alphabets, the O comes before the P, right? Samach, I'm leaving out of this because Samach did not appear in ancient languages. Why not? Because there was already a sin. Or Sof. Right? So this order, this basic order, you find it in the Greek alphabet, you find Romance alphabets, you find it in ancient Phoenician alphabets, so that it's unusual to have this, but the fact is there are some, you find them in my intro class, we give a chart of the various alphabets, if you recall, there were some that actually have pay before the ayin. So it is not, it might be explained in pshat, but the drash is still there, the drash is very clear. The drash is that the hieroglyphic of the ayin, the I, should precede the pen. Okay. Why is a book written in alphabetical order? When a book or a chapter is, it's meant to facilitate memorization. Even though you didn't know where the next pasuk starts with, you know it's going to be a pay and that'll help. Okay. Okay. All right, so Perek Aleph. You get your chuvaret because I gave you all of Eicha Rabba Perek Aleph in the back. You have an assignment. You have an assignment, everybody, to take any one pasuk in Perek Aleph. Right? Any one pasuk in Perek Aleph. And use these 20 pages, very end of the chuvaret, and treat that parak according to Medrash Rabbah. Treat that pasuk. If you want to see original work, you do this yourself. There's no reason that it should in any way imitate or resemble someone else's work. Okay? Just one pasuk, any one pasuk. For instance, Pasuk Aleph, which I'm sure you're all going to take. I would, because that's the one that the Drash Darshan's most. One page would be enough, just the side of one page. Any one Pasuk in Perek Aleph. Okay. Right. Take a look at what the Medrash does with the word Eicha. Eicha Yoshva. Shloshon Itnabu'u B'loshon Eicha. Come on, have it.
We're in the back page.
On the beginning of that whole section there. It's the page after Ruth Review Chapter 4. Okay. Shloshanit Nabahu B'lashon Eicha. Three prophets used the word Eicha in their prophecies. Moshe, Yishayahu v'Yirmiyahu. Moshe Amar, Echo Eso Levadi. Yishayahu Amar, Echo Eso Lezono. Yirmiyahu Amar, Echo Yeshva Bado. We purposely read all three of these in the same week, right? Shabbos Chazon is in Devarim. The Torah that day is going to read Echo Eso Lezono, Yishayahu Perek Aleph, Chazon Yishayahu. And then a few days later, during that week, we're going to read Echo on Tisha B'Av. Okay. Parenthetically, what is so... I understand what's sad about Yishayahu's pasuk. It's a terrible, terrible start to the Sefer. Yirmiyahu's pasuk, Echa Yeshva Vodad, is obvious. What is so sad about Moshe saying, Echa Esot Levadi, Torchachem Umasachem Berivchem? What's so sad about that? Did you think of saying Echa in last week's parasha when Moshe was judging the people that when Yisro gave him the advice? And furthermore, why doesn't Moshe give Yisro any credit whatsoever at Devarim for the advice of putting together the judges? He says, "Ana Hashem told me, get some judges to help you, get Sarai Lafim, Sarai Meov." Hashem didn't tell him that, Yisro did. Well, why is there such a disconnect between what Yisro tells Moshe to do and the way it's recorded in Devarim? Do you ever think of the question? The answer I'd like to suggest, which is found in Shimshon Rufal Hirsch, is that it's not the same story. Torchachem umasachem v'rivchem is not really what Yisro was advising him on. Right? That was the people come to Droshes Hashem to ask God, what does God expect from this particular story? What Moshe is complaining about in Devarim, get this, is that they have Torchachem umasachem v'rivchem. Why were they being litigious and contentious in the desert when the manna is falling for them and their clothing is just growing on them? I mean, why are you suing each other? Why are you taking each other to court? It's one thing to say they want to know a halacha, they want to know some judgment or something of a particular halacha, but torchachem umasachem berivchem is something different. And Moshe is bemoaning the fact, not that he's alone in taking care of those things, but that the people have those things to begin with. Following? Everyone's taking each other to Beis Din. Why? The mud is falling for you. You have everything you need. Alright, that's what it is. Okay. Alright, but that's just a side note to the word Eicha. Another point is that the word Eicha is so charged. Eicha. that there's an amazing piyut that we see on Tisha B'Av. If you hear it, it's A-Ko, where the Medrash picks up on about 20, the piyut picks up on about 20 good nevuos in Tanakh that begin with the word Ko. They say, A-Ko Amar Hashem, Ko Yez, A-Ko Yez Aracho, A-Ko, right? Where is the Ko? Right? It's A-Ko, A-Ko. Where is the nevuah that started with the word Ko? Another example of this Agadita is, you remember in the intro we talked about the Sar Katana and the Sar Gedola, the amount of times a word appears. Remember we touched upon, we did the example Echa. First Pasuk in Echa, in the Sar Katana tells us the other 17 times you'll find the word Echa in Tanakh. And then it writes, 17 ve'alef. Yud Zayin ve'alef. 17, and there's another, Aleph Yud Chav Hey in Tanakh. What's that? Ayeka, correct, in the Gan Eden. Ayeka, Chemes Adam. So, there's a kino like that too. And they saw Siluk to Hashem and says, Ayeka, how are you letting this happening? And Hashem said, you tell me, Ayeka, I asked you first, Ayeka, where are you? You're always blaming me for when the things go wrong. Right? Alright, so let's take a look at this, these three Nevi. Yishayahu Amar Echa Hisolazona, Yibiyahu Amar Echa Yashvabadol. And Moshe, of course, said, Icha Salavati. Amar Rav Levi, Moshal Lamatrona Shahayu La Shlosha Shushvinin, Echad Ra'o Osa B'Shalvosa, Ve Echad Ra'o Osa B'Pachzosa, Ve Echad Ra'o Osa B'Nivla. A Matronisa had three attendants. Right? One saw her in her time of Shalva, when she was peaceful and prosperous. One saw her as she was turning into debauchery, in other words, ruining her life with bad decisions. And one saw her when she was suffering for those bad decisions. Which is which here is obvious, right? The first is Moshe, who saw Bnei Yisrael b'shalvasa. Second was Yishayahu, who saw Bnei Yisrael beginning to sin, getting into the debauchery that would spell their end. And one was Yirmiyahu, who saw Benivla. See it? As the Medrash itself says, Kach Moshe Roz Yisrael b'chvodon b'shalvoson v'omar eicho esol abadi torchachem. Yishayahu ra'o osam b'pachzuson v'omar eicho esol lezona. So what does torchachem imply according to this? No. What is torchachem? Eicho esol abadi torchachem u'masachem v'rivchem. They have tircha, they have masa, they have riv. In other words, you're prosperous. So what are you doing with your prosperity? You're suing each other. Not happy with that, but that's a sign of their prosperity. You don't take an impoverished man to court, right? Remember the case where there's an impoverished poor person who couldn't afford the bread in the bakery, so he would stop by every morning to smell the bread baking for years and years until the baker finally took him to court, to Shlomo's court, and said, this man has been smelling my bread for 40 years. I want some manner of payment. Shlomo took in all of the evidence and claimed that he was responsible to pay 50 gold coins for all that smelling. So the guy said, well, am I going to get 50 gold coins? He goes, don't worry, I'll give you work to do. He gave him work for a few months. He paid him 50 gold coins, called in the baker, and said, okay, now you're going to get your payment. He called over the poor man, give me the coins. He called over the baker, he's about to hand over the coins, and he pays him like this. He goes, listen. And he jingles them in his ear, and he gives it back to the poor guy. So the point is that you're not going to get anywhere. If someone's going to run you over in a car, you better make sure that it's a limousine, it's a nice Porsche. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, the Medrash is saying that the tircha, the fact that you have court cases, means that you're b'shalva. That's the assumption of the Medrash. And when b'chayisav a zona, you're starting to behave like a zona, Yishayahu said. That's the debauchery that was the pachzusam, right? Continue. Yemiyara osam b'nivlam v'amar echo yoshva. It should be echo yoshva b'dod. I mean, I would see the dichotomy between the three. Is that they have court cases and they're out in the open and they're doing this together. One person is taking another person to court. And when you start to behave in pachzusa, like in the days of Yishayahu, In the end, no one's going to want to have anything to do with you. You're going to be Yoshua Badod. Okay? Shalos ben Azai. Amrul Rabbeinu. Drush lanu devor echad nemigilas kinos. They went to ben Azai and said, ben Azai, give us some drash from the kinos. Nemigilas kinos. We see in ancient times, it was already considered a Megillah. Right? And it was called kinos. Amalahem. Lo golu Yisrael ad shekafru biyachido shel olam uvamila shenitna leesrim doros uvaaseres adibros uvachamisha sifrei Torah minyan eicha. Wow. What was the thing that caused them to be nigla? What does it mean that bris was given to us in 20 generations? Is it very simple? Yes?
Abram was the 20th
generation. Correct. Adam to Noah to Abram was 20 generations. Hashem did not give this mitzvah out until 20 generations. Right? So that's 20 generations. Aseres Adibros is 30. Chamisha Sifrei Torah is 35. Plus Yechido Shalolam is 36. How does that clue into Eicha? Gematria of
Eicha
is 36. Nice.
Okay, what does it actually say, though, the
Midrash? So, in other words, the Midrash says that the Chorban could not have happened until they were kofar in Hashem, Bris Mila, Aseres Adibros, there's your 36, and Chamisha Kum Shetorah. Now, isn't Bris part of Chamisha Kum Shetorah? Yeah, when it says, all of these you can find references in Yirmiyahu. For instance, Amar Do Haaretz, what does the Pasuk say? Alazvon es Torasi. Why did you lose the land? You left my Torah. What does it say at the end? This is all not Torah Tisha B'Av. What does it say at the end? God is saying, I'm going to punish Kol Mul Ba'orla. Some of you Jews have a bris, some of you Jews don't have a bris. But you're all sinful. Wow. So they were kofar in Bris Mila. They were kofar in Torah. They were certainly kofar in Yechido Shalola. Where do you see they were kofar in Aseres Adibros? So in Perek Zion, it's amazing, the Mechilta makes this drasha. In Perek Zion, Yirmiyahu mentions all of the Aseres Adibros. In fact, in one pasuk, he mentions five of them. In one pasuk, Haganof, Naof, Ratzoach, Vekotar, Acharei Habao, Acharei Elohim, Acharei, that prompted the Mechilta, you've heard of the Mechilta, right? The Midrash Halacha Shmos, to darshan that the Aseres Adibros is not only divided this way, but also this way. If you kill, you're b'mayit itmos. If you commit adultery, it's like committing idolatry, or vice versa. If you steal, you end up bearing false testimony. If you violate Shabbos, you are bearing false testimony to the creation of the world. If you covet your neighbor's wife, someone is not going to be keeping kibbutz of aim, or at least not to the right father. So we see that in the days of Yirmiyahu, there was a profound violation of all of these things. Vomis Torasi, Mul Ba'orla, right? The message of chapter 7 of Yirmiyahu, a simple bekius of Yirmiyahu, makes sense of Ben Azai's rush. Okay? Got it? Yes?
I'm just missing where the whole 36-20 thing tie in, or I didn't even see it, first of all. That might explain it.
Chamisha Kum Shetorah is 5. Aseres Adibros is 15. Yechido Shel Olam is 16. How did you get from 16 to 36? Because 20 generations from Adam, with the bris was given.
Saying, but where
so Mila counts for 20.
What does it say about 36, though?
Eicha, but the Gematria is 36.
So where does it say that whole thing in here, though? Not in that.
I just read it while you weren't looking.
I was trying to find it.
Okay. All right, so. Okay, so that's you have the 20, the 10, the 5, and the 1. Amar of Levi, Lo Golu Yisrael Ad Shekafru B'Shloshim B'Sheish Krisos Sheba Torah. Wow. Shloshim B'Sheish Krisos Sheba Torah. Aseres Adibros Minyan Eicha Yashva Badad. Why are you doing this? Just say Eicha. Yashva starts with the Yud. That's probably what the drasha is about. You have to really analyze this. What are you saying? Just say the 36 Krisos. Is this a harbinger of the Jacob Frank movement? Are you familiar with that? Jacob Frank was with the Sabbatian wanted the Shabtai Tzvi movement to continue, felt that, listen, the Gemara says that we'll either bring about the Messianic age when we're either fully good or fully bad. Since we're not likely to become fully good, let's try to make everyone fully bad. So he said that in order to be part of our group, you have to violate all 36 precepts at least once a year. Sounds like a fun group. Not so fun. Right? Some of the creases are sleeping with your sister. Eating on Yom Kippur, doing malach on Yom Kippur. I mean, there's some really serious creases in there. Right? So they have to drink blood, they have to eat chalev. So these guys were nuts. But here, we have a medrash that says that they were purposely violated all the krisos. Kaminyan Eicha.
Why did... What was the purpose of that?
No, were they doing this really amazing? I mean, Frank was really terrible because they were really doing it b'shita. Maybe it was the same Shemayim, I don't know, but they're doing it b'shita. Now, Eicha and his darshan here is that you're getting all these connections of 36 to because that happens to be the gematria of the word. Okay. Rebrechia b'shem Reb Abdimi, follow me. Men Chayfa, Lamelach Shayolo Ben Bizman Shav Seretzonom Shal Aviv. Hayom Abisha Bigdim Bilzim. Uvizman Sheino Seretzonom Abisha Bigdim Badad. Kach Yisrael. Kol Zman Shiro Seretzonom Shal Makom Tzir Val Bishcha Rikma. Okay. Big day bedodin means tattered clothing. Yecho yashvo badod means how are you sitting in tattered clothes. That's the drash. Okay. All right, I'm just starting to read a few of the midrashim just to show you that what the Medrash Rabbah does with these psukim is to try to bring home what their guilt was to bring about this suffering and try to see that we don't follow the same path. What are we doing today that looks like, not today, but it's 1700, 1600, whatever it is, what are Jews doing in various times in history that seem to be similar to what the Baal HaMedrash says they were doing then? Yes?
I'm not clear on the assignment. So you want to... explain the midrash in context of the pasuk.
Yeah, just take any one pasuk in Perek Aleph. Explain what Medrash Rabbah does with that pasuk, and when everyone starts to read a little bit of what they do, you'll see what Medrash Rabbah wants to do in Eicha.
Okay. And it's one page.
Yeah, not one page.
Single or double?
Could you handwrite it?
Double space is fine. Yes.
Could you handwrite it?
I prefer that. Yes.
Yeah. You want
handwritten? Could.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Now, some of what you read in these psukim will appear to be, let's say, exaggerated. The amount of glory and splendor that you find in the psukim, the nature of the splendor. The Medrash presents Yerushalayim in its previous state as spectacular as possible, just to show what a grievous avera it was to be alive at that time and to cause its destruction. Right? Let's open up to Perek Aleph now, please. What Perek Aleph has as its basic theme comes across immediately in the parak, because this theme is almost like a milat mancha. Milat mancha is terminology that keeps cropping up again and again and again, and that's what I write in. It's 320. Okay, I'm not going to put this down, but in Perek Aleph, it's the words Ein Lo Menachem. Ein lo menachem. no one will comfort her. Addresses the issue found again and again in Jewish history, that even as we were often sitting ducks against our enemies, against their might, that status did not move the rest of the world one bit. No one will comfort who's even worse. They didn't do anything to stop the destruction. They didn't even do anything to help us after the destruction. Echayoshva Badod, that's what it means. She's all alone because no one will comfort her. Five times in Perek Aleph, we are told that no one will comfort her. It is the story of the Jewish experience throughout history. The fact, though, is that we happen to be living in a country now that, at least in its basic religious tendency, does relate to Israel, certainly more than any other country in the world right now. That was maintained, but throughout history, though, even till now, we have just amazing how in things we hold to be so obvious about your ability to defend yourself is not seen that way throughout the world. That's just amazing, and then I compare it recently homiletically to Moshe, who sees the Jew being beaten in the street. Probably a very common sight. Ish mitzri makeh ish ivri me'achov. So he thinks, kol v'chol v'yarkin ish. He looks this way and that way. He looks in Asia, in Europe, in Africa, in South America. He looks all over the world and says, does anybody care that an Egyptian is beating a Hebrew? Does anybody care? Of course not. No one cares. This is an everyday sight. Even the Jews themselves don't seem to be objecting to this, right? Vayarki Yenish is homiletically explained to mean there is no mensch. Makom she'einan Hashem ishtadel yosish. There were plenty of men there. They saw him. They talked about it the next day. It's just that not one was behaving like an ish. You get it? Yeshayahu in chapter 59 in his book says the same thing. God comes down to the world. Vayarki Yenish ishtomein. God is amazed that there's not one person behaving like an ish at all. Right? So, Vayarki ein ish. So, what does Moshe do? He says, all right, if there's no ish, what does Hillel say to do in Pirkei Avos? You become one. So, Moshe stands up to it, finally, and hits back. Oh, now, chek no da'adavar. The Jews begin to be hit with 8,000 missiles over a period of years. Now, it does not make a single headline anywhere. No one talks about that. Let the Jews strike back. Oh, now we wake up. Now the UN is energized. Now everything's waking up. I fear this now. You ever heard of Durban? Remember the conference on racism in Durban 10 years ago? Less than. Is that bad? No. Remember this? Anyway, it became an absolute hate fest against Israel. It was all the whole conference was only about Israel. So, who's chairing this conference now? Libya. Who's sitting on the conference? North Korea, Cuba, and Russia. This is the leadership of the world putting this conference together. The only nation singled out for any reference in the conference is on racism, is of course Israel, right? And to his credit, our last president, under Colin Powell, he boycotted it. He said, America will not take part in this conference. Not unless you change your rhetoric and your organization of the program. This current administration is sending its representatives, at least to find out what's happening. I hope they don't end up going, but don't, you know, already France, Germany, and Italy, no great friends of Israel, have pulled out because of the stated goals of the conference with respect to Israel. France, Italy, and Germany. We want nothing to do with it. But the United States now is sending the... Yeah. So you get my point? We might look at, you know, Chas v'Shalom, I don't know, but the one nation that steadfastly stood behind us is... hopefully we're just engaging, hopefully. Engaging, we can see what will happen and do the right thing. We'll see. But no, we should be proud that we live in the one country in the world that has stood behind Israel. Even when it might have cost them politically. Right? President Johnson was asked by someone, said, I don't get it, you have 200 million Arabs and 2 million Jews. Why are you supporting the Jews? So he says, because it's the right thing to do. That's very rare for politicians to say. Nations don't have friends, they have interests. So when I have a book that constantly refers to Ein Lof Menachem, so that has tended to be our, certainly during the Holocaust, you don't have to look too far to see where the Menachemim were. The final solution began in a city called Evian. Remember what happened there?
Yes, you remember? There were different offers for the Jews to every other nation.
Right, it was an Evian conference just to see. Germany was going had its plans, and the Jews at that point could have been very free, every last one of them, to leave where you are now. Not a very pleasant option if you have a business or a lot of stuff in your house, but leave where you are and go to some friendly place. One country came forth: the Dominican Republic. That's it. So they saw Ein Lof Menachem. So we can do what we want. And we're pretty sure the world will remain silent. Yeah, quite so. And some perfect storms are rising for us today, including the Madoff scandal. Right? That's a big one. Everybody was talking about the fact that he is an Orthodox, or went to an Orthodox Jewish circle. He wasn't Orthodox for himself, but all the articles are talking about his Jewishness. Right? Do you know there was a contemptible... governor in Illinois who threatened to to get money for the Senate seat that the president used to have, right? Okay. Does anybody know his religion?
He's not Jewish.
No, he's Robert Blagojevich. But if his name is Blagojevich, I'm sure that he would know it. But no article ever mentioned his religion. All right, you can argue that Madoff, the fact that he was Jewish, opened him up to certain circles within the Jewish people. Well, let the Jews deal with that. Let the Jewish Week write about that. But what does it have to do with the New York Times? Every article that was written about Madoff, 5 or 6 times in the article. Jew, Orthodox Jew, white Jew, Israel-American Jew. Right? You don't see that when it talks about someone, you don't see the African American doesn't say those things. Doesn't matter, right? So no matter wherever we are, especially if you're an observant Jew, we're observed. People are noticing us. You know, if you came from Jupiter and you judged by the way we're covered in the news in Israel, you'd think we're half the world. We're a tiny speck. We're half of 1% of the world. But that's what it is. Okay, so we're news. The Jews are news. The fact is that for the first time, certainly in 2,000 years, probably for the first time since Yirmiyahu's day, although I shouldn't say that, the Persians were very kindly disposed towards the Jews, right? I would just tell you an amazing parish of the Malbim on the Pasuk, Mikeva Tisoveiv Gover. You know what that prophecy is? Yirmiyahu says, this is the one sign that God is returning to you. The woman shall seek the man. This is a sign in the new... I shouldn't say a sign of Hashem returning, but it means that God is making a new element in the land. I'm making a new Bria. Chapter 31 of Yirmiyahu. Nikeva to Sovev Gover. The woman shall encircle the man. Now, since Yirmiyahu Zunt had been talking about no one wanting to get married anymore because things would get so bad, right? Then he said, Od Yishama Bar Yehuda. Once again, we'll start to hear the songs of Chasna Kala, right? So that's why the Kala encircles the Chasna at a wedding. Because of this pasuk. It's taken literally. Nikeva to Sovev Gover. However, it's very clear that the prophecy has to be understood metaphorically. The Gever is God, and the Kevo is the woman. Hashem is saying, at the end of Shir HaShirim, I'm creating a new thing in the land. No longer will I pursue you. The man has to pursue the woman. The Gemara Kedushin said, why? Because you lost your rib, you got to go find it. If you lose your wallet, you have to look for it. The wallet's not going to look for you. Right? So the man has to pursue the woman. Right? So Hashem says, I've pursued you all this time. I've sent my prophets to you. You aren't listening. You aren't interested. This is what Shir HaShirim is about. Now you're going to have to pursue me. That's the last pasuk. Brach Dodi. Keep awake. Right? You'll pursue me, and exactly when I'm ready, I'll let you know. That's going to lead us into the discussion about the Shalom Shavuos, and the Satmar, and the Terekarta, and all that stuff. Of Shir HaShirim ends. Alright, so that's how Rashi understands the Nekeva to Sovev Gover. But this is how the Malbim says, beautiful parish. He says, the Nekeva is not the Jewish people. The man is the Jewish people. Who is the Nekeva? Who is the one that the man has to... No, God damn it, the Nekeva in a relationship. What? Eretz Yisrael, correct. When we came into Eretz Yisrael the first time, there was a kibush. I don't like to use that word about getting a girl. It's not a conquest. But there was a kibush ha'aretz, right? So when Yirmiyahu's way of saying when you come in the next time, there will not be a kibush. The kiva to Soviet government, the land will beckon you, and you will not have to fight a battle to get back, because the Persians will let you back. They'll be very kindly disposed towards you. Tachshasta, Daryovesh, Koresh, and God will inspirit them with the proper frame of mind to take you back in openly. There was a Menachem right there. Right? There have been some times in our history, Alexander the Great was a great Menachem for us, which is why Alexander continues to be a Jewish name. Right? If you hear that the history of it, I mean from our sources, it's amazing. Similar in their sources also. Alexander the Great somehow became kindly disposed towards Shimon HaTzadik because he had a dream. He was phenomenally given to omens. And he had a dream that a man wearing white would help him with something, give him a good sign for something. And when he saw Shimon HaTzadik crying on Tisha, but wearing his white garments, he bowed down to him. He said, why is the leader of the world bowing down to this old Jew? And he said, silence, I had a vision of this. And instead of putting an effigy of himself in the Churban, in the Beis HaMikdash, which would have fast-forwarded the Tchanida story by about 150 years, right? Instead of putting him putting an effigy of himself in the Beis HaMikdash, he didn't, and he loved the Jews some great comforts. So he's a Menachem for us. There have been some other stories like this throughout history, where there have been attempts of powerful leaders to be a Menachem for us. There are too few, but the basic Jewish experience is Ein Lo Menachem. And even if those who are Menachemim to us now, which I recall, even in the heart of the Second Intifada in 2000, 2001, early 2002, when no one was visiting Israel, and you had these trips for like $500 or $300 for a whole winter vacation with hotels and everything and travel. And when you go on these planes, half the plane are these Christian groups. They never stopped going. Right? Certainly everyone but Orthodox Jews stopped going to Israel. But these Christian groups, they were always going. I remember I was on the plane once. It was just around, it was winter vacation, right around Hanukkah. And the plane was still taxiing into the runway, right? So he starts saying in Hebrew, all the people who are already, before we finish taxiing, taking out your luggage, I want to wish you a happy Hanukkah, Chag Orim Sameach, and all those who are listening to us and still sitting in their seats, Merry Christmas. The Jews were always running out to get their luggage so they get in front of the plane to get out first. Because we have to get, catch a minute and get a shear and get the tafyomi. Nice soaps. So. So anyway, but all that time, the Christians kept going. Right? So I know that they want to fatten us up in Israel so that we'll be ripe for conversion when Jesus comes again, right? So, you know, like Menachem Begin said, and he was told this when he, you know, about welcoming them on certain trips. So he said, listen, I know that that's not going to happen, so, why shouldn't I accept their help now? Right? We have other worries, bigger worries. Right? So we do have some comforts, I should say, in the world today. Mostly from this country. We have to hope and pray, and I probably have some reason to consider so, that won't change. Okay? All right, let's continue to see some examples of that in Perek Aleph. It says, Bachotiv kebalai l'pasik bet, v'dimata alechaya ein ma menachem yikol wagel. Even those who used to love her, she has no menachem from her. Right? The Jews had made pacts with various countries, with Ashur, with the crumbling Ashur, Mitzrayim, and others. It didn't amount to anything. Okay. Now, much of the first few psukim of Perek Aleph after this, like Golso Yehuda Neoni, Umerov Abudagi, Yoshua Bagoyim, Lamad Samanoach, all have to do with the fact that wherever the Jews try to escape, there's someone else there to turn them in. This is profoundly an experience during World War II. If you manage the miraculous and escaped from your ghetto, the Ukrainians are waiting right outside in the forest. The Germans did, the Ukrainians did, the Romanians, the Poles, the Hungarians, all waiting for you out there. You manage the much more than miraculous and actually escape from one of the camps with the double barbed wire fences. Even if you escape one of the barbed wire fences, you're stuck in between the two of them and you're a sitting duck. Right? You never could be alone. If you were walking alone in any concentration, you'd be dead right then. How do you escape that? How do you escape such a thing? And if you manage to, forget it. You'll never make it to the first house. Right? First house, they'll turn you in a second. Besides the fact that there was very little room between villainy and heroism, what I mean is that if they do turn you in, they get a reward. If they harbor you, they'll kill your whole family. Right? So at least be neutral. When someone comes to the door, say, shh, go away, I can't help you. At least do that. Sometimes they call you in, and then 5 minutes later, the Gestapo's at the door, or SS. My father has recollections of that. So if someone would help him right away and give him, say, he was fighting with partisans and running from place to place. So he said if they gave him food right then on the spot, then move on. But if they said, come back later, I'll have food for you, forget it. The house would be surrounded. Okay. So that's the all these things, kosher areho, every escape route is strewn with broken glass or barbed wire or you know whatever. Okay. Right. Okay. I'm just leaving you with this idea. Perek Aleph is really the impossible idea of survival. Because again, the pasuk says, "Ein menachem la." I told you, it's mamish five times. You can find it all. Okay. How have you been in 22 pasuk and managed to tell me five times that there's no one to comfort her? Right. Now, here is what happens in Perek Gimel. Let's turn to that now. Perek Gimel is an amazing phenomenon that is similar to a Perek in Yirmiyah, Perek Chof. I'm going to read some of it now. If you have the full Tanakh, it's Chof Pasuk Zayin. Yirmiyah Chof Pasuk Zayin to the end of the Perek. Pasuk Zayin. Pitisani Hashem for epos. So it's like Tani Batucho. God, you seduced me. You forced me to be a prophet. I didn't want this. I told you I'm not good for it. I told you I'm too young. I told you I don't have a good imagination. I told you I can't talk. Everything Moshe told you, I told you. And more. He was at least an older man. I was a kid. I was 17 years old. What do you want from me? Rabbi Nassi was 18 years old. He says, I'm a Na'ar. So, however old you would be when you call yourself a Na'ar. Right? So he says, God, you forced me into this job. I never wanted it. Hayisi l'schok kol hayom kulo lo egli. I'm a mockery. Everybody derides me. Every day I go out there and call out and cry against all the violence and all the screaming of the innocent and the poor and the infirmed and the orphaned and the widowed. And every time I speak on their behalf, all I get is calumny and derision. You know what, God? I've had it. From Marty Lois Kirenu, Bishmo. Maybe I'll be Nabi Shekhovesh's divorce of Chayav Misa, but I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm not talking in his name anymore. This is pent up in my bones. I'm trying to just get by, and I can't. I hear what the people are saying. Even my best friends, the people I grew up with, the people who were by my side as I was growing up, they are all saying, they want to get their vengeance upon me. They want to get even with me because I speak against them all the time. By your word, God. And your word is a shanda for me. Then look what he says. Hashem osik giboritz, but God is my champion. Al kein rodfai yikoshlo v'lo yicholu. Therefore, all the people who are pursuing me shall fall, shall stumble. Be extremely, extremely shamed, all of you who turn against me, because God is my champion and God will not let me fall. God, you look into my heart. This is not personal. It's not because I have anything personal against them. You told me that they would hate me. You told me that they would come against me. But it's for you. For your own sake, your own kavod. Shirul Hashem, hallelujah Hashem, ki tzilas nefesh avyon v'yad mariyim. Call out to God. Scream out. Sing to God for all His praises, for all His goodness. Now, what I'm about to read, please, if you're a psych student, please tell me the diagnose this behavior. Orur hayom ashiru la b'tipo, yom ashiru ladasni imi al yi baruch. Curse the day I was born. Let it not be blessed. Curse the man who informed my father that my mother gave birth to a male child. Curse the man that didn't kill me as I was emerging from my mother's womb, that I should be dead right there on the spot. Why did I have to depart from the womb to see a day like this? Yes.
Victimizing? What, is that the term you're looking for?
It's a little different when someone goes very quickly from the euphoria of Shirul Hashem.
Bipolar
manic depression. Right? Goes very quickly. You can start laughing, just laughing and ecstatic. And 2 minutes later, something else reminds you and you're uncontrollably crying. Am I This is the only way I could see him after all he experienced. The chiddush I'm trying to share with you now is that Eicha Paragimel does the same thing. Eicha Paragimel is actually the personification of Yirmiyahu. He describes Yerushalayim as though Yerushalayim is him. He says, Ani Agever, Ra'o Ani B'Sheva De'Rosso. I had to see these things. Other prophets foretold their visions, right? They didn't have to live through it. I have to live through it. Also, this is a minor chazal. I know we did a lot of gematria with Eza, but this one is really cute. Okay. What describes Yirmiyahu, what describes Yerushalayim in Perek Gimel, has, this is a guy named Sasson, Eliyahu Sasson in England, who wrote, he's not known over life. He wrote this article that shows pasuk by pasuk how every pasuk refers to something that happened to Yirmiyahu, not just Yerushalayim. It's interesting. Gemat Shevini Agedr is Yirmiyahu. Osino ha'avir l'choshech l'or, achmi yashuv yakov yedov kol hayom. They put me in the darkness, they turned me into the stocks, yafoch. Beloved Sriva Ori Shibarat's Mosai, my bones are broken, my skin is parched, but not alive Yakav Rosh Utla'ah. They plant around me, Rosh Utla'ah are two poisonous plants. Rosh is a poisonous plant. Me Rosh, Shani Me Rosh. It's the juice of this poisonous plant, which is of course poisonous. Now it's interesting, there are a number of psukim in the Perek Gimel of Eicha, more than the other prophet, the Perek Gimel, that actually has affected Minhagim of Tisha B'Av. This pasuk is why we dim lights on Tisha B'Av. Godar ba'adi b'lo etzei ichbid nechoshti. They fence me in, so I can't escape. And they make my nechoshes very heavy. Nechoshes is what you tie around a person's ankle to make it very heavy to even walk, certainly to run and escape. Gam ki ezak ba shavei asasam spilasi. Because of this pasuk, we don't say tiskabel on the Tisha B'Av, we have the Maariv and the Shachris. Can I look at that? There's even a minute not to say tiskabel on the Shiva, but that's a bad minute. Yeah. Give her a shawl and a kibbeh, you write against it. But they say if people are going to fight over it, don't fight. I have a fight at the Shiva Minyan, but it's bad philosophy to say Hashem didn't hear my prayers. On Tisha B'Av, we say there's a bar between us and God. Let's continue to keep the face of Mikdash and stay with Korban. Godar drachai begozis nesibo sai yivo. These next few psukim, another number of psukim coming up, all speak about, even if I could escape, my escape routes are all crooked. There's no way, there's someone always waiting for us at the next road, and there's broken glass or broken iron all over the roads to keep me from possibly escaping. And if I didn't have that, Dova Raving Huli, Ariba Misterim. There's a lion and a bear waiting for me also. Amos talks about this also. Remember, Sven Per Gimel about if he escapes the bear, and then the lion will get him, if he escapes the lion, the snake will get him. My paths have been made crooked. I've been sorer more. It means I don't even know how to escape. These amazing. These psukim are mamish things that are written about Yirmiyahu in the Sefer. It's a great exercise. You can make an article out of it. It's by taking every pasuk in this parak and showing. I mean, like I said, Sasson did something like this. Showing Yirmiyahu in his book says, I'm like a Matzor Olachetz. Matzor is a target. I'm a sitting duck. Hevig b'chil yosai b'nei ashpaso. What's an ashpa? It's a quiver. What are b'nei ashpaso? Arrows. Shooting with arrows. So you see, schokul cholamini ginasam kol hayom. We just read that, Perchof. My mockery, same pasuk, exactly. They are causing me to eat bitter plants and gravel to break my teeth. But it's not mishalom nafshi nashisi tova, very terrible pasuk. I can't even begin to think of what salvation is. Some of the people who were, you know, some people spent 3 or 4 years in the camps. Most people didn't make it a week. Some people spent 3 or 4 years. If you were in southwestern Poland, your war lasted a long time. Right? And they no shisi tova. There was no even hope. What hope for what? There's no life. They didn't even know what to hope for. Okay? It's the worst thing. Ulai yesh tikva. Maybe there's hope. the saddest pasuk in Tanakh. We're going to get up to it soon. There's a film out called Defiance. Did you see it? It's about the time they spent in the forest. So I know my father fought with partisans during the war. So I'm thinking, you know, this movie's almost over. It was a long movie. And they said, it's still 1942. You know, I thought, go take us through the war. But at the end, they're right. They did this for another 2 years. Just so happens that was 1941. The first year they were there was 1941. All right, 41 was the coldest winter in the 20th century. The fact that it was so cold is why, you know, we know why the Germans didn't win the war, because Hashem didn't want them to. But the winter of 41, which prevented the Germans from taking Russia, and the Battle of Stalingrad, that stalled them, was that first winter that they survived there. And you're watching this and you say, wait, the war is at least two or three more years for most of them. Right? So that is... No, Shisi Tova, how do you survive this? You survive? Yeah, that's miraculous that those people could have survived what we just saw. And that even doesn't picture what it really was. Right? But to go another 2.5-3 years like this, that's amazing. Alright, but Omar, Olad Nitzchi V'Sochalti Me'Hashem. And I think there's no way that the survival is not even a plan. Usually, no matter how hard things are, you can possibly come up with a plan that says, right? Even if the sword is at your throat, there's still a hope. Right? Remember what I did in my past to deserve this. We have just concluded one element of the parak. This is, what would you say encapsulates this whole
despair.
A little tzedakah did now for what I did to deserve this, right? Okay. A simple description of what's going on. My escape paths are crooked. I have no way to escape. Even if I could escape, there are those who are waiting to turn me in, right? Now we change. Look what happens now. Zos oshiv elibi, al kein ochil. This I will take to my heart, therefore I have hope. Chazdei Hashem, ki lo samnu, ki lo cholu rachamav. You ever know that this pasuk comes from Eicha? You ever hear people say, Chazdei Hashem, how you doing? Chazdei Hashem. Right? You ever hear people give that answer? Chazdei Hashem, ki lo samnu, ki lo cholu rachamav. This is from the Shema Yisrael. Right? Al kulam, is barach, tam shuhan, gizim, and then, b'chol, hamidu, chazdei. Hatov kilo cholu rachamecha, bahamrachem kilo samucha sodecha. It's clearly coming from these words. Look. Chadushim lav korim rabba emunasecha. Wow. This, what liturgy does this? Does this touch? Modani. Right? So I'm told that people who survived the camps that the worst time of the 24 hours was just when you're waking up. That nightmare I just had is real. It's probably worse in real life. Right? So, Rabba Emunasecha means that each new day I have a new hope that today could bring about my salvation. Do this sound like the same person who said the first 20 something? You know what I'm saying? I mean, just like in Perek Gimel Beicha we just read. Chelki Hashem amar nafshi al kein ochil lo. My chelik is Hashem. That's the way a Kohen would usually talk. It's Chilkiyahu is his father's name, remember. Therefore I will have faith. Al kein ochil, again. Tov Hashem l'kobav, l'nefesh tidrishenu. God is good to the people who hope. Tov yochil l'mon is shuas Hashem. Better to be like Aaron. Be silent. Don't bang your head against the wall of all this suffering. That's not going to be more practical and help give you a practical way to survive. I want to help you survive. I'm not going to philosophize with you here. Right? Tov lageber ki sa'ol pinu'rov. It's good if you have maintained the burden from your youth. In the practical sense, this means there's going to be some very serious physical suffering going on. Right? In order to survive, it'll be good if you have some physical prowess in order to do so. But if you're spoiled, right, and you never did any physical activity, everyone carried your books for you, or whatever, or your bags for you, you're not going to survive this. You're much better for you if you carry an old. Some say it's a philosophical old. In other words, your mind will go crazy if all you lived for was for pleasures. She says, Tov la geber ki yisa'ol bin urav. You'll better survive if you're in shape for this. Because what you're about to experience, I remember someone, a boss once told me that he was a little boy when they were taken away, and his father is a very venerable man with a long beard. They're on the train together, all crammed together, and he pulled them together and he says, I have a sense that the place they're taking us, we may have to eat unkosher food to survive. They didn't survive one day where they were taken. But he told them, the boy survived, obviously, but the others didn't. But he said, I have a sense that the place they're taking us, we may have to eat unkosher food. I'm telling you, your first obligation is to live. Survive. If you have to eat unkosher food, do it. Right? It's amazing. So I remember I had a cousin who passed away at the age of 20 of leukemia. And he was a Talmud at Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. When he got sick, Rav Moshe started to learn the Chavrusa with him. Really, he made a siyum of Chagig right before he passed away. Really, the whole yeshiva came out to him. It was really an amazing thing. And juxtaposed to that, right, it's just he died in Cheshvan. And at the end of the summer, he came over to our house in Queens for Shabbos. And I had a friend, he went to YU, and we were in yeshiva together. And he became when he was at YU, already having profound apikorsis tendencies. Right now, he's married to a Japanese woman. He's an anthropologist in Japan. I don't even think he has any Jewish sense whatsoever. But he used to come over to my house once in a while, and just, you know, get a little piece of Shabbos. He had this good sense to come with a yarmulke that day. And he had to come over the house that Friday night when I had this cousin over. And he was clearly... at the end, he didn't have any hair, and he was very, very weak looking. He lost so much weight, and he was just enjoying the Shabbos. He was singing his mirrors with such a slavos, and he was just going so he enjoyed the Shabbos so much. And it's my friend, he came over, and I just pulled him into the bedroom, and I said, listen, no, I'm not going to engage you in philosophy this Shabbos. We can talk another time. But as far as my cousin's concerned, you're a firm Jew, and I don't want you, having any discussion. You came for dinner, and I'm happy to have you over. Right? So he had a good sense of doing it. But afterwards, the guy called me over and said, listen, I've been an apikoros for a long time. I was very proud of being an apikoros. And he said that, but if I were in your cousin's shoes, I would have taken my life already. So, I see that, I still think it's an opium, but it's working for him. Right, so, anyway, this is what it is. This is the old I'm talking about. If he had survived, it would have been a very nice thing for him to teach others what his experience was and how he left Mitzrayim and his own personal Mitzar, but it wasn't meant to be. So anyway, so this is the Tov LaGeber, Ki Yisa'ol Bin Urav. There's different manifestations, this old. Yeshev Badov Yidom Pasuk HaPres, Ki Natal Olav. Now we're back to a little bit of still. I think this is still somewhat upbeat, but he's saying, "Listen, don't kvetch. You're down here. Remember a pasuk like that name in Koheles Perek Hey? You're down on earth. Hashem is up there. He sees the bigger picture. Stop. Don't let your words be few. Remember that I'm talking about? Beginning of Perek Hey. So he says, "Yitain be'afor pihu ulai yesh tikva." Pasuk Chof Tes is a very special pasuk because. It's a Gemara in the Daf Hei and the Seches Chagiga that lists a number of rabbis and their opinions of what they think is the saddest pasuk in Tanakh. This is the one that wins. What's so sad about this pasuk Chavtes? Ni Tikva it starts out as a maybe. What do you mean maybe there's hope? Surely there's hope. Everybody's got hope. I just gotta finish telling you the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud. Afilu cherv chad emunachat tzavarecha al yivna atzmacha min arachamim. Right? What do you mean? Maybe there's hope. Hope is in itself a maybe. So that's what he says. Ulai yesh tikva. Tana Makehu left in the spot of Herpa. Don't fight back. That's a klal gadol in Yom Sefer Yirmiyahu. He tells the Jews, don't fight the Babylonians. Let them do what they want to. Give them your cheek. If they hit it, let them hit it again. But if you fight back, it'll be much worse for you. The whole chapters of Yirmiyahu dedicated to that message. Chapter 24, especially if you want to look at it. Okay. So ki lo yiznachlo lam Hashem. Hashem will not treat you like this forever. Whatever's happening to you now, be aware of the fact it is not haphazard. It is coming from Hashem, and the good that He promises will also come. Like the divorce of Uriah and Zechariah at the end of Magos. Ki mogav richam kirov chasadav. God will pity you again. He will turn it around. He will contemplate what He's done to you all this time and continue with Rachamim. Ki lo yinomini bo v'yagev v'ish. God is not just doing this haphazardly. It's a very important point of Eicha. Right? You want to know that there's a message to this. Eob says, I can deal with all the suffering, but I can't deal with my friends telling me that I deserve it. Okay? It's not really bo, which means a shepadon bo, just out of nowhere, like you're up at the Bat holidays. Right? Rashi says that the next few psukim should all begin ki lo ina mili bo. Saying ki lo ina mili bo means God is not causing you to suffer for nothing. Ki lo ina mili bo l'darkei tachas raglav kol asiyaretz. Ki lo ina mili bo la'atos mishpat geber neged pnei el yom. Ki lo ina mili bo la'aveis adam peribo Hashem lo ra'o. Okay, got it? In other words, all these things that are happening to you, that you're being trampled upon, the strong feet of the enemy, that your mishpat is being skewed. Remember Habakkuk, right? Guys, remember the Odyssey, Habakkuk? Now I know why no one follows your Torah, the Rosh HaMachdir HaTzadik. Hashem does not just do this out of nowhere. Why couldn't Habakkuk read these today? Mi ze omar batehi Hashem lo psibo. Who could ever say that something could happen without Hashem? A Christian might say that these are happening because it's the anti-Osorish, right? The Zoroastrians will say these things are happening because the evil God is gaining power. The Jew says, the forces of Erev, the forces that people think are Boker, it all comes from the same source. They have the one God, says Rashi. However, I must tell you, Pasuk Lamed Ches. You see it? Mipil Yom Lo Tetzeh Hara'ot Tatov. How do you want to read that Pasuk? Do you have an English translation there? Someone with an English translation there? Do you have it?
Lamed.
Yeah. Is there an English name? Lamed. Translate 39.
39?
38.
Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that evil and good emanate?
In other words, it's a question. Mipil Hashem Lo Tetzeh Hara'ot Tatov. That's Rashi's Perush. And it's amazing that it's not the Rambam's perish. The Rambam, when he says that when something bad happens in the world, blame it on man. Man did it, not God. Shneamar, mipi elyon lo tetzeh haro'os v'atov. What? Our philosophical notion is the exact opposite. The evil is part of God's plan. That's all. He let it happen, and it's part of God's plan. It's a question. Notice that Ra is first, and notice that Ra is in plural. That's known as Murphy's Law, right? You've heard of it? And it's more noticeable. Because the good, we just don't recognize that. The bad makes a bigger impression, so we notice it more.
The Rambam. The Rambam holds the opposite of Rashi.
I'm just saying the Rambam explicitly understands this pasuk of the Maran Gurdjieff as a statement explaining that when something bad happens, don't blame it on God. Man caused it. Don't blame Auschwitz on God. Blame Auschwitz on man. Why? Okay. What are you complaining about, man? You're alive. Look into your deed, your tshuva, and we can change our destiny. Turn our palms up to heaven, to God in heaven, to see if things will change. Okay? Now we're up to the next stage. Nachnu Pashanu Marinu Atolo Salachnu. Well, how did we make this pasuk famous in this course? We did. It's not Yom Yad. Nachnu Pashanu Marinu Atolo Salachnu is darshaned in the Mechilta. Maybe here of the Medrash compares three Nevi'im. Eliyahu, it's not because it's alphabetical order and it's talking about Eliyahu, who's Toveya Ba'av, he only cares about Hashem's case, even at the expense of Bnei Israel, the way he talks to Hashem in Haftorah Parshas Kisisa. I'm the only one still worshipping you, God. Look, he complains about what the people are doing. He cares more for Hashem than for the people. Yonah, who's Toveya Leven, he will flout Hashem's command, disobey God, flee from before God if he thinks that he'll be helping his people in doing so. He's the quintessential Tovei Leben. Right? You get it? Hashem ended the prophecies of both, especially Eliyahu, who has this very long tenure. Hashem says, you know what? You're fired. Take Elisha ben Shaphat, no mitachtecha. I'm not making that up. That's the Mechilta talking. Right? Yonah, it says, Yonah, you lost your Nebuah. What do I want from a Navi? I want the Navi to place my case before the people and to place the people's case before me. If you fail in either one of those, you're fired. The Medrash says, who can be considered both? I can picture Moshe also. But Yirmiyahu is the one in the middle because it says, Nachnu, Koshanu, Marinu, Atolo, Salachta. Which is which? The Reisha is... Which one of these?
Nachnu is for the people and...
Nachnu, Koshanu, Marinu, Atolo, Salachta. The first one is the Tzavu Kadin. We've sinned, we deserve it, that's a Tvila Av. Atolo Salahta. But you, God, didn't forgive. Enough already. I know we've sinned. We deserve some tetch. But forgive us already. Come on already. How much are you going to take out on us? Right? Atolo Salahta. Now, this Medrash does not mean to say that every single Nebuah of Yirmiyahu has to be some Av and some Men. No. There's some profound Tevi'a La'av prophecies in Yirmiyahu. Perek Yudbet is not Tevi'a La'ben at all. What it means is that if you have a balance of all of Yirmiyahu's prophecies, they will fall somewhat in the middle. Just like to be a centrist doesn't mean that you're right in the middle of the road on every single topic. It's ridiculous. It's cookie cutter. It means that if you take all of your basic philosophies in life, they will somehow get you towards the middle of the road, which is the Rambam says we should be. Not extreme on any one side, but to be moderate in that, in your midos. Okay? So, now Yirmiyahu is turning, because look where he's going. Sakosa ba'af patir defenu harakta lo chamalta. Sakosa be'amalmach me'avor tefila. Look what he's doing. This is worse than the first part. Right? He's going up and down here. He's back down. I'm constantly crying. He puts again the pay before the iron. You see it? We're disgusted. Puts all the MPM. All the nations despise us. They're thrilled to see us the way we are now. Okay? Okay? Until Pasuk Nun Dalid. Safu mayim al roshi amarti nigzorti. I am covered in water. I am flooded. I am about to drown. I'm cut off. Karasi shimcha pasuk nun hey Hashem mibor tachtios. I call out your name from the pit. Koli shamata al talim az nachal rab chasi l'shabasi. That's in the liturgy. Karaf to biyamak rehekam arta al tira. I call out to you and I hear you say, "Don't be afraid. I'm behind this. This is not happening haphazardly." Rav to Hashem ribei nafshi ba al tachayoi. You're probably wondering, I hope it ends this way. Right? Is he going to turn away from this? God, you're fighting my battles, I know it. For Isi Hashem Absosi Shaftom Mishpati. God, you are there for my Mishpat. Chalakuk is wrong. Right? For Isa Konik Masam, Komach Shavosam Li. God, I know you're going to take vengeance for me upon them. Shamata Kherpasam Hashem, Komach Shavosam Alai. You hear the way they are disparaging me. Sipse Komai Beg Yonam Alai Kolayom. Shiftamakimasamabitanimanginasam. In a row. God, you see all the ways that they are treating me, all the ways they're thinking about me. For Shiv Bahem Gmula Shem Kimasayade. Titan Miginas Late for Sakalohem, Tidokba Akashmi Devita Hashmi Hashem. The last Pipsukim say ends up, I don't know if you can call this the high note, but he turns back and he says, God, you take your vengeance out upon them. It's an amazing thing after the war how few Jews took vengeance upon the tormentors. They just wanted to get out of there, get home, find a new life for themselves, look for missing siblings, parents, loved ones, children, spouses. I know some cases, there's a woman in my shul who says that after the war was over, they went looking for a German, found one, and beat them to death. And she didn't take part in the beating, but she saw it. They found someone who was in the camps, running the camps. Right? But there were very few stories like that. But the Eicha does not, it asks God, turns back and says, God, get even with them, but I'll let you do it. I'm not going to do it. You do it. Right? That's how Perek Gimel ends. So it's a really amazing, amazing roller coaster, this Perek, back and forth of Yirmiyahu's travails with respect to being the personal, the Agever, Yirmiyahu, personal experience. It's an amazing endeavor to try to show how Pasuk by Pasuk refers to Yirmiyahu's personal life. He was thrown into a pit with water over his head. He says, I'm like an arrow, target for their arrows. All Pasukim in this parak seem to point in this direction. And he was uniquely qualified to speak on to this. Okay, that will be our treatment of...